with membership starting as early as the following month, and there are no contracts and no commitments. Programs start as low as $349 per month, and there's no network, so you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance, so your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall, or call 855-58-LIBERTY.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas, locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The Michigan Board of State Canvassers has certified election results in favor of presidential candidate Joe Biden.
The Michigan Board of State Canvassers voted to certify election results for the entire state, giving Democrat candidate Joe Biden the state's 16 electoral votes.
Chair Bradshaw, yes. Vice Chair Van Langveld,
yes.
Ms. Matuszak,
yes.
Mr. Schenkel,
abstain.
Republican Norman Schenkel abstained from the vote, while three other canvassers voted to certify. The board also agreed that the state needs to change its election system and vote to work with the state legislature. Governor Gretchen Whitmer commended the three board members who voted yes. Bernie Bennett reporting.
As a result of that vote, the General Services Administration ascertained that Biden is the apparent winner of the November 3rd election, clearing the way for the start of the transition from President Trump's administration and allowing Biden to coordinate with federal agencies on plans for taking over on January 20th. Mr. Trump, who had refused to concede the election, said in a tweet that he is directing his team to cooperate on the transition, but is vowing to keep up the fight. A majority of Americans say they want Republicans to control the Senate if Joe Biden is sworn in as president.
The findings turn up in a Harvard Caps Harris poll. 56% of respondents say they like the idea of having a divided government, meaning Republicans in charge of the upper chamber, assuming Joe Biden is in the White House. Poll director Mark Penn says, quote, "As of now, the voters want divided government, and their votes for the Senate and House indicate that as well. Republicans will hold their majority unless Democrats can manage unlikely upsets in both Georgia runoff elections January 5th. Bob Agner reporting.
The U.S. government on Tuesday will start distributing 30,000 doses of an experimental antibody drug to fight COVID-19. That drug is the same one President Trump received last month. On Wall Street, the Dow by 327 points, the NASDAQ rose 25, the S&P 500 advancing by 20. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
The number one gift in this stressful year? Relaxation from Homedics. Soothing stress for over 35 years, Homedics is the top home massage products brand with gifts for every aching muscle on your list with free shipping on orders over $50. Holiday supplies won't last, so avoid the rush while you can at HOMEDICS.com. Get the perfectly relaxing, perfectly affordable gift now at Homedics.com and major retailers everywhere.
A high-level meeting.
During the global pandemic and shutdown, a lot of us have lost track of friends around the country. Hey, Kevin Wall here. You don't trust flying, and a two-day drive to St. Louis isn't all that appealing, but you still want to show some love to the ones you miss so much. That's where my friends at Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn come in. You can send friends and family delicious Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn in one of 18 flavors. And you can even put you or your family's picture on the label with a message that says, "We miss you." If you own a business, Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn can put your brand on every bag. It's a great icebreaker for businesses that rely on sales and marketing. I mean, everybody loves popcorn, so use Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn for your next church or school fundraiser. Oh, and did I mention, Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn tastes great. Check out their amazing new website at sendpopcorngifts.com. That's sendpopcorngifts.com. angelicious.com. That's Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn.
It's 5:04. This KMCQ News Flash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. Saying he's not ready to shut down the state for a second time, Governor Sisolak announced a three-week statewide pause, which begins tomorrow. The pause requires mask usage at all times when you're around someone who's not a part of your immediate household, whether you're indoors or outdoors. Capacities at bars and restaurants drops to 25% from 50. Gaming operators will also be restricted to 25% occupancy, with all other businesses going to that 25%. Public gathering size limits go back to 50. It was 250, or 25% of capacity, whichever is lower. Private gatherings are limited to 10 people. Sisolak said the new restrictions were created in consultation with county and local health officials. The governor's pause button comes nearly 2 weeks after he asked Nevadans to stay at home to slow the spread of COVID-19. Since then, the number of new cases and hospitalizations have continued to spike, with the Silver State hitting record highs in its 7 days moving average of new cases. And restaurant owners, they're not happy either with the governor hitting the pause button. Bars and restaurants must reduce to that 25% from their current 50% level.
KCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Well, expect some backups there at the Spaghetti Bowl. You're really tied up 515 eastbound at the 15 interchange. Also, slow flows on that transition as you leave Interstate 15 north to go 515 east. And some heavy volumes as well. Interstate 15, both directions between Cheyenne and Craig.
Gather around! Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. Don't forget this hour brought to you by Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn, just in time for the holidays. Send a great tasting gift to friends, family, and business associates. Personalize your gift with a family picture or a corporate logo right on the bag. And get this, take 20% off your purchase by using the promo code KevinWall20. That's the promo code KevinWall20. Order right now at sendpopcorngifts.com. That's sendpopcorngifts.com. Check out Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn. So good to have him on. Glad to know that the race is finally over in Assembly District 37. Andy Matthews, the newly elected assemblyman from that district, District 37. And Andy, first of all, thanks for joining us and congratulations on the win.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here, and it's an honor to have been elected to represent the great people of District 37. So thank you so much.
Explain for those that don't know where 37 is.
Yeah, this is northwest part of Las Vegas. It includes sort of the northern part of Summerlin, including Sun City, and then it sort of extends north and east from there, about as far north as Lone Mountain Road. And then sort of east, about to US 95 and a couple spots, it actually crosses over the 95 as far east as Rainbow and Jones, but, you know, not quite as far north as Centennial Hills, just south of that. And, you know, basically, US 95, you know, runs right past it there. So, it's a great area with some great people. And, I am, like I said, proud and honored to have a chance to be our voice in Carson City.
I know I spoke a week or so ago with Robin Titus, and she was so excited that it looked like you were going to be winning that race. You were one of, I think, four or five that she identified, key races that we really could make huge gains in. And tell me what the significance of your win is outside of just in District 37.
Yeah, you know, it was a really key pickup for us. I know we've talked about this a little bit on the program before, but yeah, it's worth reiterating. You know, this was one of three assembly seats this election year that were held by Democrats, and we were able to flip over to Republican. And the reason that's significant, Kevin, is that, you know, we, prior to this election, we're in a super minority situation in the assembly, not just a minority party, but a super minority, which meant Democrats had the power to do anything they wanted, including raising taxes. And we saw that, in, you know, 2 years ago in the last legislative session where they passed a tax hike out of the state assembly. And there was literally nothing that, you know, Republicans could do about it. You know, you need 2/3 to pass a tax hike under our Constitution. And they had it and they did it. And fortunately, as a result of winning these three seats, we were able to break that supermajority, bring some more balance to Carson City, and that means that Democrats, who still are the majority, they won't be able to simply ignore us, and they're going to have to bring us to the table. You know, conservatives like myself, like you, like many of your listeners, you know, people who believe in limited government, accountable government, education reform, you know, we're going to have a seat at the table for the debate, and that's going to be very, very crucial, and I'm looking forward to being a part of that discussion. But yeah, you know, obviously I think, you know, great in terms of the outcome of this particular race, but like you said, it does go much further than that because of the balance of power now in Carson City.
To me, there are two or three key issues that I think the Assembly and the State Senate are going to have to look at beginning February 1 when the session begins. One of those issues is the role of the governor, the role of the legislature in times of an emergency. Right now, to be honest, the legislature has been rendered nothing more than potted plants. You guys weren't even in the discussion. And I'm wondering, is that something that, as a non-super minority, will you have the ability to bring this up to the Democrats and say, you know, because everybody got left on the sideline by the governor, who just kind of took the ball and ran with it.
Yeah, you know, I can't speak, and I would be cautious about predicting, you know, what they might do on the other side of the aisle. But I think you're absolutely right. You know, we're supposed to. We have this concept, this principle of, you know, separation of powers and checks and balances, and I don't think it's the people of our state are served well when you've got so much power vested in one individual, and the governor can do this unilaterally without having to work with the legislative branch. You know, we were elected to represent our constituents. We ought to have a voice in this discussion, and I can tell you that, you know, there will be much more to say about this, I think, if we continue to move forward. And I think, you know, Republicans are going to be ready to speak up on this issue. And I think, you know, we'll have a chance to hopefully come back and talk some more as that moves forward. But yeah, I'm very concerned with what we're seeing and the way it's being done unilaterally. No doubt about it.
Let me ask you real quick about the other key issue, at least from my perspective, of what you will face when you get there on February 1, and that is the budget. There is going to be a huge hole in the budget that has to be dealt with. Do you have a feel for what we're going to be short when we begin?
You know, I can't tell you what the exact numbers are going to be, but, you know, you're right in that it'll be significant. And I think what's going to, you know, really be important to keep an eye on, or, you know, really the central question we're going to be faced with, is how do we address it? How are we going to rebuild our economy after everything we've gone through? You know, I am certain that Democrats are going to try to do it by raising our taxes. I think that's the wrong way to go. I think right now, at a time when so many businesses and workers and families are hurting, you know, the worst thing we can do, after all, that everyone has been through, is to saddle them with an additional tax burden. I think the way to rebuild our economy and to meet the challenges we've got is to remove barriers to job creation and to economic growth and to prosperity, not to put up new barriers. And I think it's going to be important that, you know, government become more efficient. We hear a lot of talk about, you know, shared sacrifice. Well, the private citizens of our state have already sacrificed an enormous amount, and I don't think that it's right for government, you know, to go to the people and say you need to sacrifice more. So those are the principles that guide me as we address this challenge. We'll have to see how it all comes together, but that's going to be our job, you know, starting when the session begins early next year, and I look forward to meeting those challenges.
And by the way, we've heard from some members that there is at least talk on both sides of the aisle about delaying the opening and not going on February 1. But the Constitution's pretty specific about that it's got to begin on February 1. Have you heard anything about the possibility of moving the start?
Nothing beyond, you know, what you just said. You know, of course, you hear rumors. All I can tell you is I'm going to be ready to go when it's time to go.
Fair enough. As long as we're talking about the governor, let's talk about what the governor said last night. What did you think of his statement? There were a number of issues that I took. I've talked with restaurateurs. I've talked with bars. They are up in arms about this thing. They say they can't function at 25%. 50% was tough, but for a short period of time you could do it. But again, this idea of being cut back from 50% to 25% leaves a lot of people with a bad taste in their mouth. What did you think of the speech overall?
Yeah, you know, I think he continues, I believe, to go the wrong direction with this, and I believe that, you know, the measures that he is taking, again, unilaterally, without consulting the legislative branch, I do think go too far. I think they are too hostile to liberty. I think they are too heavy-handed, and I think our economy, our businesses, our workers are going to continue, you know, to suffer as a result of that. And, you know, again, I disagree with the heavy-handed approach that he continues to take on the one hand. I also, again, just to go back to what I said a moment ago, I have a serious problem with the fact that he is able to do it unilaterally, and I think that's got to change.
I know that through your days at NPRI, your days in the private sector, that you have dealt a lot with education, and one of the things I hated most about the speech was the way he essentially made that Faustian bargain. If you keep washing your hands and wearing your masks and social distancing and no more than six people at your Thanksgiving feast, then I'll try and get your kids back into school, but it's not going to happen until then. That to me was unconscionable. And then to bring up the increase in suicides, including an eight-year-old child taking his own life, I just thought that was reprehensible last night. What did you think of when he started talking about the schools?
Yeah, you know, I do think it's unfortunate that so much of this has become, you know, so politicized, and I think that, you know, manipulated for you know, to drive a political agenda in so many cases. But look, I've been, you know, saying for a while that I think we need to start to get our kids back in school. That needs to be our chief objective in that area. And then once they are, you know, mentioned education more broadly, you know, there's a lot we need to do to improve our education system. And that includes more parental choice, more transparency and accountability for education spending. You know, we have a whole host of education challenges and problems that right now we're not addressing because everything is sort of getting overshadowed by sort of this macro question. And so, you know, or this macro issue of, you know, whether it be in school or not. And then I, you know, again, believe that the approach that's been taken has been too heavy-handed, too restrictive. I do believe we'd be better off with kids back in the classroom. And then, again, in addition to that, we need to make sure that they can get a quality education. There's a lot of reforms we need to implement to make sure that's the case.
Andy, tell me this, though. Why is it private schools have been in school since August in brick and mortars, and their kids are doing fine? We're not seeing huge spikes. Explain how they can do it, but CCSD can't do it.
Well, I believe CCSD can. I believe they're choosing not to. And I think we have seen, so across the board in a lot of this that, in areas where we're allowing more freedom, we're allowing people to, get on with their lives as usual, and we're hearing all of these predictions about the terrible consequences we're going to, reap as a result of that. We're seeing it's just not so. We're not seeing, dramatically different outcomes and results in some of these areas, and yet we still continue to take this very restrictive approach, in any areas where we have, government involvement. And I think it's a failure to learn the right lessons from this, that, we can be back in school. We can have our kids back in school. They can do so safely. And again, I've been vocal about that, and I'm going to continue to be.
Is it going to be Chef Andy in the kitchen on Thursday, or are you going to be eating out?
Well, my girlfriend Valerie and I, we're going to probably at her place Thursday when she's got to work during the day, unfortunately, on Thursday, but we're looking forward to a nice Thanksgiving dinner Thursday evening at her place, and looking forward to that. It's been a long stretch, as through the campaign, and obviously thrilled and grateful for the outcome, and been really busy even in the days since. Of course, we had to wait a little while for my race to become official, and we're already hitting the ground running and getting ready to be prepared for day one in Carson City. So it'll be nice to have at least a couple of days to relax a little bit and just kind of switch the brain off just for a little, if you will.
Kick
and,
back.
Enjoy some peace and quiet. Looking forward to that, but then look, it'll be right back to work and getting ready to go and represent my fellow District 37 residents and our state legislature. Looking forward to that as well.
I can't wait. It's going to be a breath of fresh air in District 37 and in Carson City. Thank you so much. Andy, you have yourself a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk with you again soon, okay?
Kevin, thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you, all your listeners, and I look forward to coming back again soon, my friend.
There you go. Andy Matthews, newly elected assemblyman, District 37. He's like a lot of us that saw the speech yesterday. And we're a little dumbfounded by it. Stay where you are. More to do. More from the governor's speech, in particular when it comes to some of the issues. The rationale for the new restrictions to me are interesting. We'll get to that and a whole lot more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us on this Monday edition, short work week edition on AM 670 KMZQ.
Blend of breaking news, interesting views, and informative interviews. The Jim Bohannon Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
You can always depend on your locally owned and operated Meineke for the essential service your car needs. From engine repair to oil changes, we are here to help you get back on the road. At Meineke, our expert technicians are here to help you understand the problem and the fix. Save time and schedule your next appointment online at Meineke.com. Right now, a basic oil change is just $17.95. Engine, brakes, tires, oil. Meineke, doing car care right.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
This holiday season, foster hope by giving the gift of a loving home to foster kids. Clark County's Department of Family Services is looking for caregivers to open their homes and hearts to foster youth. From teenagers to toddlers, there are approximately 3,000 children in Clark County foster care system in need of a home. Take the first step and learn more at calmein.vegas to sign up for a non-obligational virtual information session or call 702-455-0181. That's calmein.vegas.
This sponsorship is in cooperation with the DCFS and Adoption Incentive Funding. Hey, it's Pat Casal with the MultiCare Group. Open enrollment time is here. Anyone who needs individual or family coverage should give the MultiCare Group a call at 702-396-9449. That's 396-9449. Lots of changes this year as we add two new carriers. In addition, we've extended open enrollment until January 15th. Whether you want to enroll with the Silver State Exchange or direct with a carrier, the MultiCare Group can help. All the plans we offer are qualified health plans. They'll provide you with free annual exams, telemedical exams, and the best networks in the valley. The MultiCare Group will tailor our plan to fit your family's budget. Our services are no cost to our clients. All you pay is the premiums the carriers charge. The best part of working with the MultiCare Group is not when you buy the insurance, it's when you need the insurance the most. We're going to be with you every step of the way to make sure you maximize your health plans. So call 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449 and set up an appointment today. It could be live over the phone or you can come and meet us in person. Thanks again. We'll hope to hear from you soon.
Braxton was diagnosed with choroid plexus carcinoma, a brain tumor. St. Jude is helping us put away our fears. We have an amazing team that fights for the best outcome for Braxton. He has the best chance here. I don't have to worry that how much is that bag of fluid going to cost me? Can I afford it to save my child's life? The donations, they're paying for me to live every day with my son, be stress-free, and enjoy every day with him. I wish there was a word bigger than thank you, more close to the heart. Because thank you's not enough. They've given me hope. They've given me my son.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
It's time for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
It's all about Las Vegas. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
By the way, this hour brought to you by our friends at Bye Bye Fungus. Do you have an ugly, embarrassing fungus on your toes? Then Bye Bye Fungus is for you. For a limited time only, take 20% off your order. Just tell them Kevin Wall sent you. Call Bye Bye Fungus, 800-258-3635. That number again, 800-258-3635, or visit byebyefungus.com. Use the discount code WALL. That's the discount code WALL, W-A-L-L. I want you to hear directly from the governor. This is interesting stuff. The rationale for using these new restrictions. Let's go to cut four. This was Governor Sisolak yesterday.
Science of COVID or not, the reality is this. It's simple. COVID is filling up our hospital beds, and that threatens all Nevadans. If hospital beds continue filling at this rate and staffing shortages continue to increase as they are now, that means all Nevadans will have limited access to the care they may need. It's not just for COVID. If you get in a car accident or have a heart attack or break a wrist, you won't be able to access care if our hospitals are full and there isn't enough staff. This is our biggest threat. You saw it in New York. You can see it now in El Paso. This cannot become our reality. There is a consensus on one inescapable conclusion. We are in a rapid trajectory that threatens to overwhelm our healthcare system, our frontline health workers, and your access to care. So it's time to act. From the start of the pandemic, there aren't any decisions that don't have negative consequences. Weighing the loss of jobs and businesses versus the loss of health and lives is painful without a perfect solution. While prioritizing the health and safety of Nevadans, I am also balancing the significant ramifications that further restrictions will have on our suffering economy. No state struggles with this more than Nevada, due to the lack of diversity in our economy. I've mentioned this High Wire Act before.